The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We don't talk a whole lot about building your faith and growing your faith and walking by faith. Because you see, that kind of message makes people a little bit uncomfortable. Because it requires something of you. You know, for the most part, people would rather, and I'm not talking about you, but for the most part, the body of Christ would rather that the pastor be the one that walks by faith, or the elders, or a select group of people in the body, so that when they have issues in their life, they can run out and get the pastor, or get the elders, or get the group of people that's praying, the intercessors, and bring them in to exercise faith over their situation. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is that God requires you to walk by faith. You to exercise your faith. You to grow in your faith. Today I'm going to be talking about, I'm starting a message, a series, Mountain Moving Faith. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if you had faith and you doubt not, you shall say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Wow. But you got to have faith. You got to exercise faith. You got to walk by faith. In another place, he talked about the parable of, he talked about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. If you take that mustard seed and you put it in the ground, it's a really small, small thing. One of the smallest seeds known to man. But if you put it in the ground and you cultivate it, you take care of it, it springs up and it grows up into a bush-like tree. Large enough for birds to land in, Jesus said. And he said the kingdom of God is like that. Now, there's other places he talked about faith being like a mustard seed. And what that tells me is that Jesus is saying there's something about faith that we don't understand. That faith has to be cultivated. It has to be cared for. It has to be allowed to blossom and bloom. Sometimes you have to prune it a little bit, you know. You have to work at it. Doesn't come as easy as we would like for it to. But it's possible for all of us. Very possible. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know what? I'm going to have to take a second here because I need to mention this real quick. Prayer Task Force. Yeah, you're all right. Thank you. Prayer Task Force on Thursday, September the 29th, Middleport Church of Christ. Everybody got one of these? Did you get one of these? Yes? Acknowledge that you did? Yes? Maybe? No? Okay, this is not hard. Yes? No? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, Jim's got a whole handful over there. All right, this is important because if you would, you'd like to have some information, some awareness, and some training about dealing with the drug problem in our area, you need to come to this. This is going to be a great training. It's some people in our community, actually some people right here in our church. Betty Folks is going to be teaching one of the sessions, but it's an opportunity to learn, to find out some great information that you can apply to helping other people, or maybe some great information you use for yourself. But praise God, this is an effort by the whole community, Many pastors, different pastors and churches are involved with it. Leaders, judges, juvenile individuals that work with juveniles. Just a lot of people are involved with this. So this is going to be good. It's going to be great for the community. We really want to encourage you to come out for this. This is the 29th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Church of Christ. The address is on there. All right. So, let me get back to where I was. Praise God. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith. You know, I love what Otis said this morning. It's we live half but sometimes. Now, you understand what he's saying, right? Okay. You know what? The reality is that we say God is unchangeable. We say God is unstoppable. We say that we're walking by faith. And then we say, but. There's a lot of big buts in the body of Christ. But this, but that. We've got to get to the point where we recognize that the Word of God says it, then we're going to believe it, and we're going to trust it. Because it's a reality. No matter what is happening around us, that's the difficult part. Because that's where the enemy starts working. He starts creating circumstances and situations around us that causes us to doubt. Causes this battle to go on inside our mind, our will, our emotions. So we've got to learn to take control over that area and walk by faith. Walk by faith. Amen? Yes. Apply the Word of God to our life. Amen. Mark Twain, many, many years ago, was confronted by a guy that said that he was a businessman in Boston. And a man that took advantage of a lot of people, unscrupulous. And he said to Mark Twain, he said, before I die, I want to go to the Holy Land. I want to go up on Mount Sinai, and I want to read the Ten Commandments loud so everyone could hear me. Mark Twain looked at him, and he said, I've got a better idea. Why don't you stay in Boston and live the Ten Commandments? Amen. That's what we need. We need to recognize that those commandments are meant for us today.
That's right.
Jesus said the greatest commandment, when he was confronted by one of the religious leaders who asked him, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself, because on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that was taught in the Old Testament can be fulfilled if we love God and love people.
Yes.
Mm. Hallelujah. Walk, that's walking the faith. But of course then, you know, loving God, loving people, that has a lot of different facets to it, right? It's easy to boil down to that, but then we got to start walking it out. And faith is a part of that. Walking it out faithfully. Walking it out and recognizing the power of God. That needs to be manifest in our lives on a daily basis. If we're not living by faith every day of our life, when we're confronted with a huge issue, something that seems like a great mountain, we're not going to have the faith to overcome that mountain. We're not going to have the faith to speak to that mountain, say, be removed, cast into the sea. It's a daily process. We've got to walk by faith. All right. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, so I want you to be prepared. You have your Bibles with you, right? Amen. Okay. Good. We're going to talk about four levels of faith. I'm going to teach this, begin with this message, give you as much information as I possibly can in the amount of time that I have, and we'll just pick it up. Of course, next Sunday is our Biker Sunday, so we'll pick it up after that. and just continue to talk about faith. But what I'm talking about this morning, and what I will be talking about, is laying a foundation for this overall message so that we can see that there are different levels of faith. And that, and you don't have to stay on the level that you're on. If you're on one of the lower levels, you can move up. God has given us opportunity. He's blessed us with the ability to believe. He's given every man a measure of faith, the Word of God says. That means you have enough to get started. Enough to believe. Enough to apply. Enough to stand on the Word of God. So the first thing that we want to look at, you turn to Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 53. This level is really not a level at all, when I really think about it. This level is unbelief or no faith, faithless. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, they taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own house." Now he did not many mighty works. Now this is a very important part of this. Even Jesus did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. It's very possible to stop the move of God. It's very possible here at Bethel Worship Center to stop the move of God with unbelief. And if the masses of people have unbelief, I'm sorry to say, that may dictate what happens with the church and the direction. That's why it's important that we stir our faith. That's why it's important that I speak to you about things like this, about faith. Amen. That you can recognize. Now there's things that you have to have faith in. First of all, we have to have faith in God. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And those who come to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6, I believe that is. That's not up there, by the way. Excuse me. So we have to have faith in God. And we have to have faith in the body of Christ as well. You know, you come to Bethel Worship Center, I hope that you come here because you have faith in us. Now, if you're just a visitor, you may not have faith in us yet. But I hope that if you continue to be a part of Bethel Worship Center, you will come to the conclusion that this is a group of people that you can have some faith in. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be people who will let you down, because that's human nature. That's the way things are. Sometimes we're let down. Sometimes we just think we've been let down when we haven't. Right? Easily offended. Yes, we need to stop wearing our emotions, feelings on our shoulders where people can knock them off so easily. You know? It's pretty, if I just walk up and pat you on the shoulder, and you got your emotions out there, that could hurt. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Come on. I'm not that vague. Or if I fail to pat you on the shoulder and I walk right by you. That's more like it, isn't it? Yeah. Ha! Pastor, what's wrong with the pastor? He doesn't like me anymore. He didn't say a word to me. He won't speak to me. What's with this pastor? And if you're not careful, you let all that kind of thing just begin to grow into a hideous monster that will fill your mind with all kinds of lies. You know, Pastor, I may not have seen you. I may have been busy. Any number of things could have happened. I don't normally just walk by people without saying hi or how you doing. But it does happen sometimes. If I'm not careful, I'll let my flesh rise up. If I think somebody is easily offended like that, I'll just do it to make them mad. Am I bad or what? I'm bad. That's not good. That is not good. I should not act like that. That's right. Praise God, I need to get over that. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. But I'll tell you something else that you need to have faith in. This is difficult. You must have faith in Pastor Rob and the leaders of Bethel Worship Center. Because without that, when we come up, when I stand up here and I say something like, you know what, God has spoken to me and we're going to change our direction completely. We're going to do something different. We're gonna bring on some new praise and worship leaders. Boy, now we're not planning on bringing on some new praise and worship leaders. We're very, very excited about the ones that we have. But I'm just using that as an example because when our music changed, and everybody has their own style, right? When our music changed, that changed the opinion of some people about this church. How can that be? How can a music style change the opinion about the people that you have fellowshipped with and loved and gone through difficulties with, all kinds of things in your life, had people praying for you, and all of a sudden, because of a change, like music, it's no longer the place you want to be. It's a different, it's not a good way of thinking. We've got to recognize that our commitment should be. It's just like marriage. We have a covenant with one another. And we're to walk in that covenant. We may not always be happy with everything that's going on. Believe it or not, I'm not always happy with my wife. I'm not always pleased with my wife. I don't always like my wife. Yeah. I'm setting myself up for a beating. Right, but come on, you all know what I'm talking about. You don't always like the things that happen and the way you're treated. But you are in love with that person. And love is a commitment that goes beyond the way you feel about something. And we just keep throwing our marriages away and throwing our relationships away because we don't have any commitment any longer. We're not walking with the power of God that causes us to understand what covenant is all about. Covenant is more than a contract. Covenant is a lifelong commitment to that person and those people that we're all a part. And we're going to be a part. And we're going to stand together. And the good thing about being in a covenant with somebody is that if I have some issues with my wife, I can talk to her about it. And I don't have to worry that, she's going to get the gun out and shoot me. That's why I keep the shelves in a different place. I don't have to worry about that. Amen. Praise God. I don't have to worry about that because we have a relationship and I can share anything with her. I could talk to her about it. Now, when I do, that doesn't mean that she's going to be happy about it. There may be a serious discussion that takes place. Have you ever had those serious discussions in your family? Come on. Yep. We have them. Conflict plus love equals growth. It happens. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the church. That's the reason I'm talking about this. I want you to know that it's going to happen in the body of Christ. That's right. There's going to be conflict. Let's learn to work through that conflict. That's part of faith. That's part of recognizing that we are walking by faith and not by sight. So as we look at this particular scripture, let me go back up here. We're talking about belief, unbelief, faithless, no faith. Look at verse 53. I'm sorry, verse 58. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That word, the Greek word there for unbelief, apistia, it means a want of faith, a refusing to trust. And what it boils down to is a defiant act of a person's will. They had decided that they knew Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They knew his family. They had lived with him all their life, the family all their life. They knew his sisters and his brothers and his parents. So they had actively come to a decision of their will that this could not be the Messiah. And because they had decided, you know, unbelief is a decision. It's a decision not to believe. It's not a place where you have a little bit of faith and saying, God, you know, I believe and I just need to grow in my faith and be able to believe even more. It's a place where you've decided. Many people in the body of Christ have decided to have unbelief. They've been hurt. They've seen all kinds of scandals in the body of Christ. They've seen all kinds of ungodliness take place with leaders in the body of Christ. And they made a decision. That decision is, I don't need that in my life. I don't need that kind of stuff. And they're right, they don't need that kind of stuff. But what are they doing? They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They're just getting rid of everything in their life. They stop going to church, they stop praying, they stop seeking God, they stop believing anything. I just don't believe anymore. What a sad place to be. You see, these people in this place, in Jesus' hometown, had been looking for the Messiah to come. It had been prophesied for hundreds of years that the Messiah was going to come. And they were looking for him. And they just got tired of waiting. And they couldn't believe that the Messiah was going to be somebody in their own community. And consequently, their unbelief, their act, their will kept them from receiving the power of God in their midst. We don't want that to happen here, do we? We don't want to allow the enemy to have strongholds in our life that will keep us from believing the power of God. Keep us from believing that God's word is true. You know, when I talk about tithing and giving, I'm talking about you releasing your faith. That's what it's all about. If you're going to have the kind of faith that moves mountains, it's going to begin with you releasing your pocketbook to the Lord. Because that's the greatest God most people have in their life. And God wants you to recognize that your step of faith begins right there. When you're growing your faith, it begins right there. You're watering and nurturing your faith. When you start there and you believe God. Now, I don't want to condemn anybody. I want everybody to recognize the reason I tell you this is not so I'll have more money in my pocket. Because I don't get the money. I have a salary. And I live on that. Praise God, he's blessing us. We have some other income. You know, God's just doing some things in our lives. Praise God. That money doesn't go in my pocket. That money comes here. That money is used. It's distributed in many of the ministries that we have. It helps pay salaries. There's nothing wrong with that. You need to understand, that's just part of the way the body of Christ works. Jesus, you know, the New Testament teaches us that we're supposed to take care of those who work in the ministry. So there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not about the fact that we need money. It's about the fact that if you want to walk by faith and you want God to grow in your life, you need to be obedient to His Word. That's why I'm encouraging you to do that. Because you will, when you put God to the test, that's what it says in Malachi, test me, try me. When you put God to the test, there is nothing like seeing Him do what He said He would do. It's incredible. It's exciting. All right, unbelief here. We were talking about unbelief. Mark chapter 16, once again. Let's go over to Mark chapter 16. Excuse me. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. Talking about Jesus coming after resurrection and in appearing. After that, He appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. So once again, we see that these are people that walked with Jesus. These are men that heard Jesus teach great truths about the kingdom of God. These are men that sat with Jesus and heard Him say, "Hey, I'm going to die." The leaders in Jerusalem are going to kill me. But take heart, I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to be resurrected. They heard Him teach that many, many times. He talked to them about it. Almost every time He talked to them about it, they couldn't comprehend. They couldn't understand. What are you talking about? They heard those teachings, and then after it happened, after He died, after He came back to life, after He walked among them, they couldn't believe. They were getting stories from people, and they couldn't believe that Jesus was alive. It was unbelief. Now, there's a key here to why they had unbelief in that situation. And it goes on to say they had unbelief and hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. The Greek word there means they were just stubborn. They were a stubborn bunch. And they were not going to allow themselves to believe. You know why? They had been so disappointed that the Messiah went to the cross and died and didn't call 10,000 angels to come back, to come down and rescue Him from that cross and set up His kingdom at the time they thought it was going to be set up. They were so disappointed. How many of you can identify with these men? Disappointment comes in your life when you're believing something and it doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen. And sometimes we put up some walls. Some walls of hardness of heart. We start hardening our heart in such a way that I'm not going to be hurt like that again. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what he read from the Word of God. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be hurt like that ever again. And we allow that hardness of heart to come in. And these men were in that situation. They had great disappointment. They were still reeling from the reality that Jesus died and they almost died. Had they stood up and said, "Yeah, we're followers of Jesus," they would have probably suffered the same thing. And the scripture says they had unbelief and hardness of heart. We have to guard against this unbelief and hardness of heart. It can come to any of us. And we have to stand, we have to believe, we have to trust God's word and not our emotions and not our feelings about that situation, whatever the situation is. Some of you, maybe you've not experienced that, but if you've experienced that in the past, I'd say majority of us have. You know what I'm talking about. You know how much easier it would be just to say, I'm just going to chuck this whole thing. Not believe it anymore. Somebody in this congregation that we've prayed for passes on. I don't have the answers. I can't say I understand. All I can say to you is that Jesus said, if you have faith and you doubt not, you can say to that mountain. Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. The only thing I can do is stir your faith and stir my faith through the preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's all I can do, and that's all I need to do. And I stand on the Word of God. I stand believing, healing for the people of this congregation. That my God's Word is life to us. And it's meant for us to catch hold of and believe and trust. But we got to do more than just say, oh, I believe. We got to get serious about believing. We've got to get to the point where we're not allowing unbelief and hardness of heart to overtake us. Another scripture. Matthew or Mark chapter 9. Go back to Mark 9. Mark 14-27. Set the stage for this, and that Jesus had just come back from a mountaintop retreat with three of his disciples, his inner circle. And they had a great time. I mean, a wonderful time. It was one of those spiritual experiences that we all long for, where the Spirit of God moved. And they saw Elijah and Moses manifest in their presence. And they saw Jesus glorified. They were so excited and happy about it that they said, hey, Jesus, let's just build some houses here and stay. Let's stay in this place. It's such a wonderful place, such a wonderful feeling. How many have ever been in an experience like that? Maybe an encounter or a special service. You've just, you know, you felt the power of God touch your life, and you just wanted to stay there. Yes. You didn't want to leave it. It felt so good. You want more of that, more of that. And the best way to get more of that is just stay in it. It's wonderful if we could do that. But it's not real life. So what happens here is they've come down, they're on a spiritual high. These guys are. And they come back, and now they're confronted with, I lost my place. They're confronted with the reality. Do we not have any of, we don't have anybody back there. There's Connie. Do we not have any of the scriptures or anything? Nothing. Okay. Praise God. I'm glad you got your Bibles with you this morning. Amen. All right. Let me get back to my place here. Okay, Mark 13, 14. Mark 9, yes, praise God. Thank you. All right, so now we see Jesus and his disciples who are on a spiritual high. They come back and they're confronted with real life. Just like when you come back from an encounter, or you come back from a, we're going to have this wonderful service with Ron Phillips, and that's going to be exciting. There's going to be some wonderful things take place. People are going to be delivered, set free, healed. There's going to be great move of God happen in this place. But once it's over, then we have to get back to real life. We have to walk out those doors. We have to go back to work. We have to go out into the world and still be salt and light. And when you leave an experience like that, you still have those wonderful feelings. And you're still feeling good. You're still built up. You're still encouraged. And then things start happening. And that's where we are with this. Things started happening. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeting him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they could cast it out, but they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Now, these are the same disciples. Jesus and three of the disciples just came back from that mountaintop retreat. But these are the same disciples that Jesus sent out and said, "Go out and cast out demons, heal the sick, freely give, because you've been freely been given to you." And they went about and they did it. They cast out demons. You see, they had that experience. They had that spiritual experience that I'm talking about. They knew what it was like to see the demons shriek and run. They knew what it was like to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and rise up and shout and glorify God. They've been in that spiritual experience. And yet they come to this place in their life and in this situation. And they come to a place that they're having difficulty doing what they did before. Walking by faith. And the word says, Jesus said to them, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Faithless is the same word that is rendered unbelief. They had come to the place where they were hardening their hearts. Now, Jesus is not just speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the whole crowd here when he says that. The whole generation. He's saying, you are faithless. You are having a hard time believing and trusting that this is possible. And then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he is thrown down, but into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And then he cast out that demon. Wow. If you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, if we can just realize what it means to truly believe the word of God, nothing will be impossible for us. I've tried to make it a point to teach this congregation and to learn to walk in it myself that Jesus Christ has given us authority in this earth. And he wants us to go forth conquering in the name of Jesus. He wants us to go forth and to use his name to make a difference in our community, in our society. And part of it is this, is learning to walk totally and completely by faith. Not being stirred toward unbelief or hardness of heart because of a circumstance or a situation like they just saw here with this. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. Won't be much longer. I'm going to wrap things up. Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning with verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Scripture says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw all my works 40 years. He's pointing out, listen, it's possible for believers to harden their heart. He's talking to believers here. You could harden your heart just like the people in the wilderness who hardened their heart. The Hebrew word there means becoming obstinate and stubborn, or the Greek word. Heart, of course, is cardia, and it's the word used most often for the inner self. It's not talking about the fleshly heart. It's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have control over those. It's talking about you taking control over your mind, will, and emotions and not allowing yourself to become hard of heart, become stubborn toward the things of God. It can happen to anyone. And we must take authority and stand against those things. Faithless, unbelieving, one who does not believe, particularly believe the words of Jesus. Where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, and they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, beware, body of Christ. Beware, people of Bethel Worship Center. Lest there going to be in any of you. Because it's possible to be there. Don't allow it to creep in. Don't allow that unbelief. Don't allow that hardness of heart. Don't allow that stubbornness to get inside of you. Because it's creeping around. And its desire is to get in you and stop you. It's a demonic force. Spurred on by the enemy. With a desire to stop you from believing the word of God. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. He just lays it out for us right there. Be careful. Don't let it happen. Have faith. Trust God's word. Do not let circumstance, situations, any kind of offense cause you to have a stubborn heart of unbelief. You have control over it. We have control over ourselves. And over these things in our lives. And we have control over how much word we allow in our life so that we can combat these kind of things. You have all the weapons that you need. Every weapon that is necessary to combat and to overcome. You can be victorious over these things. You can walk by faith and not by sight. We have to trust. Stand with me. We're going to talk about three other levels of faith: little faith, faith, and great faith. And we can all have great faith in our life. We can all grow to that point. But you know what? We've got to understand that that comes from the Word of God. And without faith, we're not going to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing regardless of what you see around you. It's trusting in the Word of God. A few years ago, Reader's Digest ran a story on a company that attached a mustard seed to their product. And they said, if you will have the faith of a mustard seed in our product, you will not be disappointed. And they sent it out. A few months later, a guy wrote back to them. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I planted my mustard seed and I got a beautiful tomato plant. They were putting their faith in the wrong thing. Faith of the size of a mustard seed can grow into mountain-moving faith. There's no doubt about it. But you have to put your faith, your mustard seed faith, in God's Word. Not in counselors, not in philosophers, not in psychologists, not in the world system. In the Word of God. And He'll not disappoint. We wrap things up this morning. I want to ask if you want to increase your faith this morning. I'm going to come up. I'm going to pray with you. We're just going to believe together that God's going to show us, going to continue to work with us to increase our faith. This is not a message to condemn you. I want you to understand that. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that God wants your faith to grow. He wants you to be able to walk by faith every day of your life. He wants you to be able to speak to those mountains that rise up in your life and say, be removed and cast into the sea. And it happened.
That's right.
But I can tell you this, my experience has shown me that just because I speak one time to that mountain, it doesn't mean that it's going to get up and move. I have to continue to speak to it. I have to speak to it regardless of what the enemy plants in my mind that says, oh, it's not going to happen. That's impossible. You're crazy. Why don't you just stop saying that kind of stuff, because you're making a fool of yourself. And that's when I have to stand on the Word of God and I have to say, enemy, get behind me, because it's written. If I have faith and doubt not, I'll say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and it shall be done. It's being done in Jesus' name. Stand on the Word. Find a scripture that you can stand on, that you know that God has given you in your particular situation. Stand, stand, stand. We're in a battle. You have to do warfare. But you can stand. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your people that have come forward this morning. They believe in your power being released in their life, Father. Thank you that they are growing. They are becoming stronger. They are, their faith may start out small, Lord, but it's going to grow into mountain-moving faith, for they believe your word. Things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And today, Father God, we see a turning point in every life in here. Turning to victory, standing and believing, Father God, that you are working on their behalf. The enemy may bring in a flood. Hallelujah. But you, Father, will raise up a standard on our behalf. As we trust in you today, Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for touching and anointing and ministering life to each of your people. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Bring those up, Tammy. Hallelujah. Get a couple. Billy, if you guys help out. Tammy's got some mustard seeds there. I want you to pass those out to each person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory. Okay, amen. It's all right. Glory. I want you to know something. These mustard seeds were prepared over a year ago to hand out to people. I was preaching a similar message, not exactly similar. And we prepared those to hand out to people. I know it's been at least a year. This is an example of God telling you to do something and then use the timing being just right. Because today is when we were supposed to use those.
That's right.
The timing is right on. Thank you, sir. This is God. This is a God thing.
Yes.
This is God saying to us that he has made a decision on our behalf is that if we will trust him, we can expect him to move in a mighty way. It's just a little faith that you came up here with, but that faith is going to grow to the point that you're going to move those mountains in your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for this exciting service that you have given us, this opportunity to know that you, Lord God, prepared this long before we even knew what was going to happen here today. You had it in place. You spoke to Tammy's heart to go back and get these mustard seeds. You spoke to my heart to bring this message. You spoke to the people to be here, to hear this, to be able to stand on your word. Father God, today we claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ. We will move mountains. We will do things that are impossible according to men. We will be victorious in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together today and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a